Oh, Lord. We do need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. We need you because of the things that are coming upon this world, the coming upon this nation that you've been warning us about for years, Lord. We need you. We need you because in your warnings, you call us to repent. You call us to turn away from worldliness and sin and deny ourselves and to seek your face and to follow in your ways. And yet we want to do it. I want to do it. But we find it hard, Lord. We find it hard. So we need your help, Lord, so that we are ready, that we are prepared for the things that you have for this nation and for us individually, Lord. We know that you love us, Lord. We know that you care for us and that you have our best interest at heart. And that you want the best for us. But help us get out of this civilian thinking that having the best for someone doesn't necessarily mean it's all going to be comfortable and that it's all going to be nice and fun. Because true love, your love, tells us that there is some suffering coming. There is suffering that we will have to endure. There are things that you will take us through and that you will allow us to go through. Because you love us, help us, Lord, like your word says, to have an attitude to suffer, an attitude to look to you, to trust in you, to trust that you are bringing us to joy. And part of tonight's subject, Lord, has to do with that, Lord. We don't realize it a lot of times. We wonder why it's there, that 1,000 years. But you have a purpose in it, Lord. It's not just there because you're trying to fill up some time or something like that. So help us to see, Lord, that purpose. Help us to see that purpose, not only in the grand scheme of things, the grand scheme of your plan, but to us individually. Because it is important to us individually. And you're showing us that. You're telling us that. You're putting it in our hearts, Lord. You're telling us by your prophets. You're telling us by your word. You're telling us by your spirit. It is important. And we need to be ready. So speak your words, Lord. Open our hearts to hear what it is you have to say, Lord. And give us a portion of Jesus as we need it, as we need him. Thank you, Lord, for your love and loving kindness and the knowledge you give us. And help us to understand the gravity of the responsibility of having this knowledge and the responsibility that comes with it, the accountability that comes with it, and knowing that you give it to us for a purpose, for a reason, to do something with it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let us hear, Lord, and heed. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, the 1,000-year kingdom reign. The 1,000-year kingdom reign. Age. Of course, the church knows it mostly by the millennium, because it's 1,000 years, a millennium. And I think generally, at least when I started out as a Christian, I really had no idea what the millennium, the 1,000 years, was all about. You know, I read Isaiah 11 and thought, oh, you know, the wolf's going to lie with the lamb and the child's going to be able to play with poisonous snakes and not get bit. You know, that sounds pretty cool, you know. But beyond that, okay, sounds nice. But as God began to open my eyes up to the scripture, particularly in terms of how he wants us to develop and be and be a part of his plan, this idea of the 1,000-year millennium or kingdom age, as Pastor likes to call it, began to become more clear and to be able to see the importance of it. So we'll get into that and see how it is important to us. And it's not just there as a time of peace and joy, which it will be, but it also will be a time of ruling with the rod of iron. So let's look at Revelation 20, verses 1 through 7. Yes, that's what I want. Okay. All right. Can you all see with this board in the... Okay. Chapter 20, Revelation, first verse. And I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having a key to the abyss and holding in his hand a great chain. And he seized the dragon, the ancient serpent, who is the devil or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. He threw him into the abyss and locked and sealed it over him to keep him from deceiving the nations anymore until the 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be set free for a short time. I saw thrones on which were seated those who had been given authority to judge, and I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony for Jesus and because of the word of God. They had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or their hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy are those who have part in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. When the 1,000 years are over, Satan will be released from prison. And then he's going to go make havoc. 1,000 years. So this passage gives us this idea that there's going to be 1,000 years. And it's going to be, from the previous verses and so forth, it's going to be when Christ comes back. It's going to start then when he comes back. And it's going to be for 1,000 years. Now, we know Revelation is symbolic a lot of the time. And so whether this 1,000 years is an exact, day one beginning and then at 1,000 years and, 365 days, it ends. Don't know. It could be literal. It could be symbolic as well. All we know is it's because what have we heard about 1,000 years according to God? It's like a day. Yeah, like one day, and one day is like 1,000 years. And two, we've got 2,000 years, as we know, in terms of the chronology of God, in terms of how he's been dealing with his creation, that at the end of 2,000 years, the millennium is supposed to start. But it's now 2011. And who knows, God may tarry a little longer, and maybe 2,100 or something, or 2,100. So God is not bound by the calendar times as we are. Why do you think that's the case? Well, yes, because he's God. Well, what would be the problem if we knew exactly that at the end of 2,000 years, boom, tribulation was going to start, God was going to come back, all that was going to happen. What would happen to us, Christian?
We would do, really bad things, and then, maybe, a year before we get really good. Try to get really good.
Or maybe an hour before, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, we try to scheme and do what we want to do until oh yeah, okay, I'm good now. Let me get ready and repent. It's interesting because I remember my father when I was in junior high. He was, I don't know what brought the conversation up, but he said, what would you do if you knew you were going to die tomorrow? Seventh grade, I had no idea. I don't know what I do, cry. So I said, Dad, what would you do? And he said, well, I'd go gay popping. Now, back then, gay didn't mean what gay means now. Okay, gay popping at that time meant I would go and have fun and have as much fun as I can because tomorrow I'm going to die. And I thought, interesting. Still didn't quite sink in what that meant, but at the time I thought that was interesting. But now I know what that means. And that would be our tendency, is to go gay popping. until the day before that we knew Christ was coming back, and then say, get on our knees and say, please, 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 God, forgive me for all the bad things I did and bring me into your kingdom. But God doesn't play like that. Not at all. So it's going to be 1,000 years. Why do we have this 1,000 years there? I would, like I said earlier on in my Christian walk, I looked at that and I thought, okay, that's fine. But what is it there for? Why? I mean, if we're going to go into eternity and have God with us, why not, you know, when Christ comes back, just bring it all back and we're in eternity? Why have this 1,000 years there? And then as I began to learn more about, you know, maybe what was going to be happening in those 1,000 years, you know, you have the remnant coming up on the first resurrection, and you still have people that have made it through the tribulation, that haven't been killed, and so they're going to be in the tribulation, I mean, in the 1,000 years, and there's going to be no sickness or disease, and Christ is going to be ruling, and you'll have peace, and there'll be enough to eat. There'll be plenty. You won't have to worry about anybody stealing from you or anything like that. And again, I thought, that's nice. Okay, you got all these people that didn't die, and then you got these few folks from the church that were in the first resurrection, and they're here ruling. Okay, and then at the end, you know, all these people that you taught for 1,000 years turn on you after Satan's release, and God brings fire down on them and burns them all up, and then we start the new heaven and earth, well, the judgment seat, obviously, and then the new heaven and earth, and then we go into eternity on the new earth. Why this 1,000 years? What's it for? We know a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. In the Bible, there are the third day. That phrase, the third day, is in the Old Testament and in the New Testament throughout. And we're not going to go through all the references to it, but we're going to go through a couple. Let's look at Hosea 6:2. Here's a reference to the third day. To the third day. It says, after 2 days he will revive us, and on the third day he will restore us, that we may live in his presence. After 2 days he will revive us. What do you think those 2 days represent? 2,000 years of what? Who said it? Church age, did you say that, Lisa? Leslie? Okay, yeah. Of the church age, what we're in now, two days. And then on the third day, he will restore us. Okay? He will restore us. That third day would represent what period? What? 1,000 years. Okay, thank you, Sir Benny. All right, let's look at Matthew 16, verse 21. Matthew 16, verse 21. Here Jesus is also referring to something about the third day. It says, from that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. On the third day be raised to life. Something significant about the third day is the day that after Jesus said he was going to be killed, he would be raised on the third day. Let's look at Luke 13, verse 32. Luke 13, verse 32. And Jesus clarifies the third day even more this time around. He replied, go tell that fox. He was talking about Herod. I will drive out demons and heal people today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will reach my goal. Bill, can you change that to King James? I will reach my goal on the third day. And in the King James, he says, I do cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I shall be perfected. I shall be perfected. Today and tomorrow. What is today and tomorrow referring to? The 2,000 years we're in now, right? The church age. And then he will be perfected on the third day. Perfected on the third day. That could mean he's perfected in terms of his rising from the dead because he rose from the dead on the third day. Or it could mean something else referring to the church. Who said that? Sir Benny? Sir Benny. Yes, referring to the church. Exactly. Okay, good. Referring to the church. I will do cures. I will heal today and tomorrow. And on the third day, I will be perfected, or I will reach my goal. For 1,000 years to be perfected. When you think of that, you mean perfected. What do you mean by being perfected? I mean, symbolically, as Sir Benny brought up, it's the church. So it gives us an idea. Something is going to happen during that 1,000 years. We've got the first 2,000 years, if you will, the church age. And that's the age of what? Getting everybody saved, right? And converted and brought into the church so that, you know, we feel the... And Tony's shaking his head. What is the church age for? What does God have the church age for? What's that?
Preparing the bride.
That's part of it. Yes, that's part of it. What does church mean? What is it? The Greek ekklesia? Ekklesia. Thank you. A Greek scholar has corrected me. What does it mean?
Called out.
Called out of what? Out of the world, called out of the world. So the church age, the church, the ecclesia, is the call, being called out. God is calling out His church, calling out the people that are going to belong to His church. The church age, healing, curing. Aren't we now going through healing and curing right now? If we're following the Holy Spirit and seeking God and not, you know, playing in the world or whatever. Yeah, we're being healed. The church is being cured, if you will, during today and tomorrow. But then the third day, it's going to be restored. Restored. Now, obviously, restored means that something was wrong prior to being restored, right? Something's broken or something's, you know, has happened that it needs to be restored. The church needs to be restored. So when you put that together, hopefully it's beginning to come clear that, wait a minute, okay, today, tomorrow, curing, healing, if you will, knowledge, growth in Christ, in the new creation, if you will, and then restored in that third day or in the 1,000-year kingdom age. There's going to be some restoring done. And the question is, what restoring? Who restoring? Why restoring? Well, in Revelation 20, we found that at the first resurrection, we had some folks that were raised from the dead to sit on thrones. Is that the church? Is that the church?
They are members of the church.
They are members. Okay. Mark. They are members of the church, implying what, Mark? A subset. That's not all of the church. Contrary to the belief of traditional Christianity now, meaning that they believe that every Christian who professes the name of Christ will, at the first resurrection, be raised. And then all those folks that are raised in the second resurrection, God's just raising them just so He can throw them in hell, in the lake of fire. Period. That's it. End of story. That doesn't sound like a good God to me. But we are realizing, we are seeing in God's Word that that first resurrection is for those who overcome, right? Second and third chapters of Revelation talking about those who overcome. Sir Benny, what did you say? For the elite, okay, yeah, the elite, the overcomers, those who go through the judgment. The judgment seat, everybody has to go through the judgment seat, but we know that's portrayed at the end of the 1,000 years. But yet, here are these saints that are raised on the first resurrection, which implies what about their judgment?
Oh, they've already been judged.
They've already been judged. They've already gone through it. Revelation 19:7, if you would, Bill. They've already gone through it. Everybody has to go through the judgment seat. But in order to make the first resurrection, you have to be ready. You have to be prepared. You have to have Christ formed in you. He's not going to raise anybody that doesn't have himself in them, formed in them. And in Revelation 19:7, it says, "Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride is who? The church, has made herself ready." Has made herself ready. It implies that she has had some involvement here. In other words, not just involvement in the sense of even just saying yes, but involvement in saying, "Okay, Lord, what is it you need me to do? What is it you need me?" Of course, we know what that is. Deny yourself, take up your cross, follow him. All the things that God has for us. And those people have been diligent to do it. And they've made themselves ready. Every one of us in here, every one of us in here can be right there. That bride, that part, that elite or that subset that makes it on the first resurrection. This is at the beginning of the 1,000 years. So you've got this subset of the church. But remember, Jesus said this third day is for restoration. Do these saints that have been raised on the first resurrection, do they need to be restored to anything? Jasmine says no. Why? They have been restored before they got resurrected. Exactly. In fact, that's why they were able to be resurrected, is because they were already restored and judged. Okay. But Mark said it's a subset of the church. So where does that leave the rest of the church? Say louder, Abby.
After the 1,000 years.
What about after the 1,000 years?
Then they'll be ready.
Then they'll be ready. Oh, really? Don't second guess yourself. You're right. Yeah, they will be raised on the second resurrection. But what's going to happen between the beginning of the 1,000 years and the and that raising and the second resurrection? They have to be trained. They have to be ready. They have to be restored. Yeah. Now you think, what? That's what the 1,000 years is for? Kind of makes sense. Let's look at Song of Solomon, chapter 8, starting in verse 8. The Song of Solomon. Of course, a lot of people think that's a love letter, which it is. But also a love manual for husbands and wives, which it probably can be. But it's also something else. The Song of Solomon is a story. It's a story. It's a story of the love between this lover and his beloved and how they interact. And it's a powerful story about Jesus as the lover and the church, the Shulamite woman, the church as the beloved and how they interact. And if you read it like that, you begin to see that God has laid out this. And this is another book, too, before God kind of showed me what it was. It was, why is this in here? You know, and but once God showed me what it was saying, it was like, wow, this is really powerful. And here you can see, again, thinking about the subset, the elite that's already been raised, and then the church that needs to be restored, needs to be trained. Verse 8, Song of Solomon in chapter 8. We have a young sister and her breasts are not yet grown. What shall we do for our sister for the day she is spoken for? For the day she is spoken for. What is she spoken for? To be married. Okay, yeah, to be married. To whom? Yeah, Jesus. If she is a wall, we will build towers of silver on her. If she is a door, we will enclose her with panels of cedar. So we have these two sisters that are not quite perfected yet, if you will. Okay? They need some help. But then you have, in verse 10, I am a wall, and my breasts are like towers. Thus I have become in his eyes one, like one bringing contentment. And having breasts like towers is symbolic of fruitfulness. Fruitfulness. And she's a wall. I mean, like a wall. You know, a wall particularly in this time and age, people built walls for what? We build them now for decoration kind of thing, but what did they build walls for?
Protection.
Protection, yes, protection. Keep the enemy out. Exactly. Protection. She's a wall, and she's a has breasts like towers. She is representative of who, do you think? Yeah, I know it's the bride, but so are the other two sisters. Who does she represent? Louder, Jasmine. Overcomers, did you say? Yes, the overcomers, the elite. The ones that make it on the first resurrection. Okay, they are fruitful. They've gone through the judgment. They have Christ formed in them. They are bearing fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. But these other two sisters, the rest of the church, they need a little help, don't they? They need a little help. They're weak. Yeah, they're weak. And that's not to look down upon that, because we could be part of that, one of those two sisters. But they're weak, but yet they're betrothed, they're spoken for to Jesus, right? Yeah, as the bride. The bride, the sister, or the in verse 10, I am a wall, I have full breast. She is, Lord, it dropped right out of my mind. Lord, help. Verse 10, the elite one, the one that's a wall, breasts are like towers. Lord, where are we going with that? What's that?
The overcomers.
Yeah, it's overcomers, but there was a point I was going towards, but it's... Huh? What's that? First fruit? First fruits, yeah. Fruit of the Spirit. Oh, Lord. Yeah, you'll bring it back to me. Yes. Sandy.
Can I ask a question?
Sure, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what did the sisters in verse 10 do for the others, and what difference did it make?
So what did the sister in verse 10, the one who was strong, a wall, what did she do for the other sisters?
And what difference did it make?
Well, for the one sister, verse 9, if she is a wall, we will build towers of silver on her. And it implies that even though she is a wall, there's still something lacking there. And maybe it's not a very big or very thick wall or something, or maybe it's not quite built up. And that strong sister would help build that towers of silver on her. And if she's a door, then panels of cedar. I'm not exactly sure the symbology of the panels of cedar being on the door. But again, she's being helped by that stronger sister. And the purpose is what? What is the purpose to help these other two sisters? Loud, Jasmine.
It's just to bring her to maturity.
To bring them to maturity, to help them mature, to be like the other sister who has breasts like towers and is this strong wall. Billy, did you have?
Well, in verse 8 it says her breasts are not drums, so that's kind of the deficiency.
Yeah.
It's a bad word for it, but in 9, if she's a wall, that's like a calling that God has on her.
Mm-hmm.
In which case, we're going to facilitate that until her breasts develop.
Okay.
If she's a door, we're going to facilitate that until her breasts develop. So as Jasmine said, until she matures, the older, more mature is going to help the younger protect and build and guide and bring to maturity.
Yes. Yes. Can I ask your question, Sandy?
Yes.
Yes. Exactly. Thanks, Bill. Definitely. Definitely. So we see... Oh, sorry, Liz.
I was just going to say, when I read the one about the door, I always think of like people can be doorways for spirits,
mm-hmm,
or things that are not of God.
Yeah.
And so the cedar panels would keep that out until they themselves know how to keep that out.
Right. Mm-hmm. No, that's very good. Yeah. Yeah. So they can become that wall.
Right.
That wall. Yeah. And it's interesting that wall is mentioned here, that she says, I'm a wall. What's significant about that? And she says, I'm a wall. Liz?
Well, there's the wall around the New Jerusalem.
Yes, exactly. And that's very significant. Okay, so in Song of Solomon, we see symbolically that this is talking about, you've got the strong sister, if you will, the subset of the church. And then you've got the two weaker sisters that aren't as strong. Their breasts aren't fully as grown. They're not as fruitful. They don't have as much dominion and they need help. So it's a good analogy in terms of looking at what this 1,000 years is for. You've got the elite that's come up in the first resurrection. The one, the bride that has made herself ready. Okay. Now we know that making herself ready, I mean, she didn't do it in her own strength. But she was cooperating with God, diligent to put away sin, diligent to grab more of God and to grow in Him and to turn away from the world and to take up their cross and follow hard after Jesus. So they did what was commanded of God and of Jesus by the Holy Spirit. And so they made themselves ready, this first one, this tower. And so she is in the first resurrection. Sandy.
So the sisters that she helped along are in the first resurrection also, or was that part of the kingdom age? I kind of lost on that.
Okay. And thanks for bringing that up. Because, yeah, if you got any questions, please ask. The one sister, verse 10, the one that's strong and so forth, that's helping the other two, she's in the first resurrection. The other two sisters, the weaker sisters, did not make it in the first resurrection.
So they didn't really help them then?
They help them. Not for the first resurrection. They don't help them in the first resurrection. They help them through the 1,000-year period. That's where they get help. Okay? Because you've got the bride makes herself ready before the 1,000 years. And let's go to Revelation 21, verses 1 and 2, Bill. Then we can see kind of the connection where we're going with that. Yeah. It says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem. What's the New Jerusalem? What's the holy city? What is that?
The church.
The church, okay. Coming down out of heaven from God, who made herself ready as a bride, beautifully adorned. Is that what it? That's, you're shaking your head. Yes, Sir Benny. She made herself ready as a bride. It says, made herself ready?
No.
What does it say, Sir Benny? Prepared, right? She was prepared as a bride, beautifully adorned. That means someone prepared her, as opposed to before the 1,000 years, the bride made herself ready. Okay? But now, in this case, the bride has been prepared. Who prepared her?
Sisters in verse 10.
The sister in verse 10 of Song of Solomon, yeah. And who would that sister be? The overcomers. The ones in which resurrection? The first resurrection, exactly. They prepared the rest of the church. GD.
Okay, I'm confused.
Okay, go ahead. It can be. I understand.
I thought the second resurrection was after the 1,000 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if the overcomers, how during the 1,000-year reign, are preparing... They're reigning over the saved nation.
Right. Well, they're reigning over the nations that survive through the tribulation.
Are in the saved nation.
They're
they can't be in the first resurrection.
No, they're not in the first resurrection. You're going to have people that survived the tribulation and so forth and all that havoc. They're going to be the nations, and they're also going to be part of the church that don't make the first resurrection. But you also got a lot of people in the spirit realm too. Probably most of the folks in the spirit realm, okay?
But they're being prepared in the spirit realm.
They're being prepared in the spirit realm as well. As well as those that are alive on the earth at the time of the first resurrection.
Because it says coming down. coming down from somewhere.
Okay.
Prepare them.
Uh-huh.
When they're not in the same realm. It seems like they're...
They may be in the same realm.
Yeah. Okay.
It says that the heavens are open, uh-huh, and the skies roll back like a scroll.
Right.
The invisible spirit realm and the visible material realm will merge again like it was in the Garden of Eden. And though they'll still be in the spirit realm, there'll be constant communication. The witnesses that surround us will know them all in the visible, but that's the
okay. Yeah. That's...
Oh, I was just
going to
say, so where is it?
Okay, got the first resurrection. All right. Got the 1,000 years. Got the second resurrection. Okay, well, actually, I need to make that a little shorter. Second resurrection. Okay. In this first resurrection, you've got the overcomers. Okay, the whatever you want, not whatever you want to call them, but the elite. Okay, overcomers, the elite, and this is a subset, a remnant, right? God always works with a remnant, right? Gideon, he didn't have all of Israel come out and fight, right? He started out with 32,000 to fight, ended up with 300. They fought the enemy. After they fought the enemy, was it just the 300 Gideon that received the benefit of that? Or all of Israel that received the benefit? All of Israel received the benefit of that. All right. Okay, so you've got this remnant that has made the first resurrection. Okay, they've been judged and so forth. And this is... Oh, I forgot to put the cap on. This is the 1,000 years. Okay. Kingdom age, millennium. So you've got this subset here. So where's the rest of the church? They're here. The two sisters, if you will. The remaining church. The other two-thirds. And I don't think God works like, you know, one-third, two-thirds. But it's symbolically. Okay, so you got the two sisters that are weak, that need help. Or the remaining church, if you will, the 1,000 years, they're here, whether they're physically alive or in the spirit realm. We know from Hebrews 11, it talks about the those of faith that are in the spirit realm that, thank you, that are being perfected just as the ones that are still alive on the earth, right? They're being perfected at the same time, okay? So you've got the physical and the spirit realms working here as far as where the rest of the church is. Okay? This is in the 1,000 years. Okay? So this sister is helping, obviously, at the direction of God and Christ and the Spirit, mature, grow up, if you will, help become fuller. These two sisters, the remaining church, all the way up to the resurrection. The second resurrection occurs. What do you have after the second resurrection? Well, excuse me. When does the second resurrection occur?
After
1,000 years. Okay. But before, after the 1,000 years are done, what's going to happen? Satan's going to be released, right? And, everybody's going to, that's still alive on the earth. They're going to surround the city of Jerusalem, the camp of the saints, and God's going to bring fire down and burn them up, right? And then what happens after that? Yeah, the sun, the old earth, the sky, everything is burned up. And what do we have? The judgment seat? All right, the yes, Dan, I forgot to keep putting the cap on here. We got the judgment seat, okay? And then, right before the judgment seat, what happens? There's the second resurrection, right? Everybody's raised. that wasn't raised on the first resurrection, because they need to be judged, right? Okay? After that judgment, then comes the new earth and heaven, or sky. Actually, it's sky. The new earth and sky. I can't read my writing there. And then coming down out of heaven onto this new earth is the new Jerusalem, this one that's mentioned here that has been prepared. Okay. Prepared for her husband. The holy city, the bride. Oops. Okay. So, the overcomers in the first resurrection, during the 1,000 years, they are training, they are helping, they're providing help by God and Christ and the Holy Spirit to mature the two sisters that still are not fully grown, if you will. Then, at the end of the 1,000 years, we have all the folks that turn against God, and God burns them up, and then all the earth and the sky are burned up, and then everybody is raised. Let's look at Revelation 20. I believe it's, I'm not sure what verse it starts, talking about the judgment. No, that's the first resurrection. So it's after, 11. 11, you've got the great white throne judgment, who's seated on it. Earth and the sky flee from his presence. Then there's no place for them. And then, here's the second resurrection, starting in verse 12. I saw the dead, great, small standing before the throne, and books were opened. Okay, this is the second resurrection. All right? And then they're judged. This is the judgment seat. Now, who's judging here? It's Jesus, obviously, but who else? The overcomers, those that made it in the first resurrection. Okay? They're with Jesus judging. And who's included in this second resurrection by implication here? The two sisters, okay, along with everybody else. All right? Okay, and so they're judged. And those whose names were not found in the book of life are thrown into the lake of fire. Make sense so far?
Okay, the two sisters are after the 1,000-year reign.
They're through the 1,000-year reign being trained to be matured and perfected. Okay? To be matured and perfected. Because, see, they didn't make the first resurrection because they were young sisters. They didn't have the fruit. They didn't have what was needed to be raised. So they need help. Okay? So the 1,000 years is to help them. To help them to maturity, to perfection. Okay? Make sense? Okay? Abby?
For the remaining church, is that people that have just, varying degrees of Christians who proclaim Jesus, or is that kind of open to anyone who's like, oh, I'm interested in God at that time, or did they have to know God before the first resurrection?
I don't know the answer to that, other than to say they were not as diligent for whatever reason and being an overcomer to make it to the first resurrection. Okay.
And are the rest of the people random people in Africa or whatever just going to kind of intermingle at the same time? It's just going to be kind of regular life except for we're training these people, or is it going to be so different? We don't know.
We don't know. Don't know how God's going to do it, but he's going to do it. Yeah. Sandy?
So the sisters, they're separate than the nations. There's something going on with them also, right?
These are separate from the nations.
But the mature sisters are involved with the nations also.
Oh, yes, it's going to be the rule of the rod of iron. So, yes, the nations will be being ruled at that time. Yes, definitely. So they will be both going on simultaneously. I don't know what's happening with the nations. They're obviously being taught. Zechariah talks about, them saying, let's go up to the house of the Lord so we can worship and be there. And anybody that doesn't come up there, they won't get any rain, and they won't be blessed and so forth. So, yeah.
And it seems like they also get a chance, kind of like we had, a chance to but without Satan there, but only to prove that they still could, even though everything is wonderful still on there, they can choose not God.
Yeah. Yeah, which I think is the purpose for one of the other purposes is for God to show that even with all the training that these nations will get, that at the end of the 1,000 years when Satan is released to you know, put that other idea in their head or to put in a bad word, if you will, against God, that the people will easily turn because these nations don't have Christ formed in them and so forth like the church does. Yeah.
So is the remaining church also, when that 1,000 years, they also going to be deceived?
I don't think so, because they're going to be part of this New Jerusalem. Because if they are, I mean, then they haven't matured and been perfected like they're supposed to.
Like God's camp or whatever?
They'll be in the spirit realm, and I guess those that are still physically alive would be in the camp. But I think also those in the first resurrection will probably be in the camp as well. But if they're going to be perfected, then no, they're not going to be swayed by Satan. They're not going to be swayed by Satan if they've been perfected. Because just like Jesus said right before his crucifixion, he said to Satan, what did he say to Satan when he showed up? You don't have anything in... There's nothing in me that you can touch or grab or hold. There's nothing in me that you can do. I think it'll be the same with these two sisters that have been perfected by the end of the 1,000 years. Okay? Yanni?
So everyone who was in the first resurrection gets judged after the second resurrection?
Yes.
So does anything that happened during the 1,000-year period have any effect on what you get judged on? And also you're saying that the two sisters are going to be included in the New Jerusalem. I mean, that's not a guarantee, obviously.
Well, none of it's a guarantee if we decide ourselves that we don't want to go with God's program. Yeah.
So does the 1,000 years have anything to do with what you get judged on?
If you're being trained, I'm sure there's going to be some type of judgment to see if you're progressing like you should be. So, yeah.
So that's when, in a sense, the two sisters sort of graduate into the realm of the people who came to the first resurrection. They
graduate into the realm of being part of the perfected church, the New Jerusalem. You bring up a good point. Yeah, they may be kind of like with the first resurrection, the overcomers were. They were already judged, so they were able to be raised and perfected and joined to Christ. It may be the same for these by the end of the 1,000 years, that they may be part of the ones judging as well on the other nations, because they have been perfected by them.
So they've worked out their judgment in the 1,000-year period? Similar to how people who
I don't know how God is going to do it, but there will be judgment, obviously, because they're being trained. Anytime you train someone, by the fact that you train them and give them a test, you're judging them. Did you learn anything? Did you pass it? Did you make it? Did you understand it? And if you have, you've been judged, and okay, let's move on. Or you've been judged and didn't quite do it, so okay, let's back up and do it again. Okay, so yes, in that sense, there's judgment going on. Okay, I don't know the details. Don't know the details. But God is using the first resurrection remnant to help bring these to maturity, to perfection. Okay, I don't know the details of how he does it.
And does the nations have any shot at being part of the New Jerusalem by the time of the...
I don't think so, but I don't think that's what God's plan is for them. He plans to bring them into the kingdom, but he needs somebody to rule. You know, if you're going to rule, who are you going to rule? He said you don't, that the church doesn't rule each other. The individuals in the church don't rule each other. They're ruling the nations. Okay, so in this case, no, the nations won't won't be part of the church now. Okay, I got it. All right. I know I saw Sandy's for first, and I'll get it. Okay.
What the story about the sisters does for me is it's great motivation that if you sense at all that you are not mature, or if you take this time right now during your life to do, I mean, what you need to do. I mean, I know you're probably saying, duh, that's what we've told you all along.
No, but no. You break, yes, you're already, yes, that's where we're going to the end game. Tony?
All right. Is the New Jerusalem that's coming down from heaven?
Yes.
Are they the same people as the overcomers in the first resurrection?
Of course, definitely.
Okay, so then there's no second chance for people in the 1,000-year millennium
no.
to attain to that. They get raised on the second resurrection, there's no way that anybody in the kingdom, after they've been taught and trained and perfected and judged or whatever, to be part of that New Jerusalem, correct?
No, they will be part of the New Jerusalem.
Oh, they will?
Yeah, they've been prepared. They've been prepared.
Wait a minute. They did not attain to the first resurrection.
Right, they did not.
And the first resurrection group is the same as the New Jerusalem, right?
They are a part of the New Jerusalem, along with the rest of the church. The New Jerusalem is the whole entire church.
Oh, it includes people?
It includes the two sisters, the remaining church, that are brought to perfection during the 1,000-year reign.
Really?
Yes. Yes. Now, I see where you're going. You're saying, well, hey, these folks that made it in the first resurrection, they did all this work, they knuckled down, they followed God. How are these guys going to get the same thing we got? Is that kind of where you're leading with that? But there is no second chance. Two, it's like God's calling. If people that don't have a motivation or a desire for this, they don't even know about it. God's not going to judge them, even though He's called them into their church to say, "Oh, you didn't make the first resurrection, so you're out of it." He's not doing that. He's not going to break the bruised reed. He's not going to snuff out the smoking flax. All right, which would be included with these sisters, but they will be part of the New Jerusalem along with those in the first resurrection. But for all eternity, like Paul says, their glory is going to be greater, okay, for all eternity from these guys. What you do, what you achieve in God, in Christ, is not going to be, oh, okay, everybody gets the same reward kind of thing. The first resurrection saints' reward is going to be much greater. They're going to be in higher esteem. They're going to have higher glory, more glory, a weightier glory, as Paul talks about the weight of the glory of the house that God is building. It's going to be more glory. They'll be closer to God, closer to Christ. All of these things for all eternity. Okay, all these promises that are made to them in Revelation, you know, to the overcomers and so forth. They will have a greater glory. Okay, but yet these sisters will also be part of the Jerusalem, the New Jerusalem, part of God's called out ones. Okay? That's God. They'll be looking, if you make the first resurrection, they'll be looking up to you, in a sense. Okay? Billy?
Well, going back to Song of Solomon, the
yes.
distinction between the mature sister and the immature sister was just that maturity, right? It said of the younger sisters, that they, what will we do for them? How did it end?
Yeah,
something about
when they're spoken for.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that, I interpret the spoken for part as being the bride. They're spoken for
right.
to become the bride of Christ.
Exactly, these are.
And
yeah.
so the city that descends is going to be the bride of Christ.
Right.
I don't know in Jesus' mind whether he's going to distinguish the first resurrection as being that much better than the rest of his bride. That I don't know that that's the point or even worth straining over, but I think, you know, Yanni's question about whether the sisters will come out of the nations, if we assume that part but not all of the younger sisters are in the spirit realm during the 1,000-year period, and some will come out of that period of time, I think by just deduction, they have to have come from the nations, because the nations that are saved from the context of God's wrath at the beginning of the 1,000-year period.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're all those will be saved of the saved nation. They're either going to, if they're not overcomers, they're going to be of the saved nations, because they will be saved from God's wrath. So the sisters that are perfected on the earth during that 1,000 years will of necessity have to come from the nations.
Yes, in that sense of being, yeah, they're not going to be in some group somewhere saying, oh, we're the church, just like we're not, quote unquote, separate.
Yanni's question, whether the younger sisters will come out from the nations. Is that your question now?
Yeah, in a sense. I kind of don't get the nations and the saved nations in general. I mean, like, they're kind of just some group that's not included until they get judged.
Technically, yeah. Until they get judged, yeah, they would be called the same nations, as it talks about in Revelation 22, that have access to the new Jerusalem at that time. But what Bill said in terms of, yeah, being amongst the nations, if you will, they will still have been called, if you will, or designated by God as part of the church, apart from the nations, just like we are, but yet we're still, quote unquote, in the nations. We're living with people and stuff. Oh, I'm sorry. I think Liz was before it. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Liz.
Oh, I was just going to comment on what someone said. The sense I get from the first resurrection is that, like, there's a kingdom principle that the greater serves the lesser, mm-hmm. and there's more joy in that.
Mm-hmm.
So I get the sense that the first resurrection people will be overwhelmingly joyful that they can help people who aren't quite as further along. Mm-hmm. You're just going to always have the greater joy.
Yeah.
Just like we might do that with a child, or right. you know, Jesus did that for us, you know what right. I mean? So I don't know that it's like, oh, well, how can they get it? I think it'll be like, oh, awesome. Because people I know that have a real heart for God, they're just always rooting for anyone who is a bruised reed or a broken.
Right.
They're rooting in such a way because they have the heart of God. They're
right.
happy.
Exactly.
Does that make sense? I think it's
Yeah, this is not a negative thing. This is not like, oh, you missed it here, so therefore you're... It's in God's economy in terms of... I mean, because if someone doesn't have the motivation to be here, to strive for this, it's not saying that they're missing God. I mean, if God hasn't put that in their mind to do that, hey, that's not their fault. That's not God condemning them or whatever. Okay? Yeah, they have a different place in the kingdom. But yet they will still be part of the New Jerusalem once they've been perfected. Okay? Sandy?
It seems to me that, like with the sisters, like if you have some kind of a sense or even just an idea that you want to be a ruler in the kingdom, then if you ended up being one of the sisters that was not mature, then you totally missed out on that session. You'll either, if you had already died, you'll be in the spirit realm, but you'll totally miss out on the rulership. Not from the ruling standpoint, but just the desire that you've had for the nations, and then the joy you feel when they come and they bring their gifts, and just the overwhelming joy, like Liz was talking about, that you've had. You miss out on that part.
So it's motivating, you're saying. It's
highly
motivating.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. It would be motivating to the point, I think, that God is at least trying to say here, or at least I think what God wants to say here, is that we want to be part of the first resurrection. He's put it in our heart to do so. He's put it in our heart to overcome and to be part of that, so we can be the resurrect.
You have a new body, otherwise you're going to be in the spirit realm. You won't get the new body, and you won't be resurrected. You'll be in the spirit realm. You won't miss it.
Or you'll be alive. I mean, not all of them will die, but it's I don't know the details of that in terms of how God is going to make that happen. All I know is that these two sisters are part of the church, and the 1,000 years are for their perfection, okay? And those in the first resurrection, with God's guidance, will help them mature and be perfected at the end of, to the end of the 1,000 years, so that they will eventually be part of the New Jerusalem, okay? The New Jerusalem, the bride. Right. And like Bill said, yes, I mean, I'm sure Jesus is going to look at them all as, hey, this is my bride. But also, again, to answer that question, like, you know, does everybody get the same thing? No, they won't. The first resurrection will be, if you will, they will have a greater reward. They will have more glory.
Yeah, those rewards to overcomer do not apply to the people who come out of the 1,000 years and as part of the New Jerusalem.
That's not what I'm saying. Yeah, in the sense that they do have to overcome to make it to perfection at the end of the 1,000 years. I'm just saying that that those in the first resurrection will still be have more glory. Let's put it that way. They will have more glory. But everybody will still be part of the New Jerusalem.
So what you're saying is that the two sisters in the 1,000 years, after they have been trained successfully and have been perfected, get the same rewards as the overcomer?
I did not say that. I said ones in the first resurrection have more glory than those here. They have to, because they made the first resurrection. They made themselves ready. They were diligent and so forth. But these sisters will still be part of the New Jerusalem. They will still be part of the bride. They will still be part of God's city with the wall, okay? That rules over the saved nations, that rules over all this creation on the new earth for all eternity, okay? I don't know the details there. All I am saying is that this is the purpose of the kingdom age, is for God to make perfect or perfect the remainder of the church that didn't make it, and that's probably a wrong phrase. They didn't make the first resurrection, but I don't say it in a sense like they, oh, I missed it, kind of thing. There will be some like that, most likely, but not everybody's going to be like that. If God didn't put that in their heart to strive for that, how can God say, oh, you missed it? They're going to say, missed what? You know, God's not going to condemn them because he's got another place for them. Bill?
I think that the overcomers, those that make the first resurrection, a better way to think of it, because I keep hearing another interpretation.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
One is they're not these people that have had this great opportunity. There's a calling on their lives that has been made aware of, and they've responded to, and they have qualified themselves in the sense that they are capable and competent to do a job, which is to help the younger sisters.
Yeah.
But there are people before who never knew Christ. There are Christians that knew Christ and died before they had a chance to have God do any needlework in their lives. Mm-hmm. There's going to be Christians that lived during the 1,000-year period, that all they've experienced is the love of Jesus ruling and the love of the saints ruling. Mm-hmm. Satan's been locked up. Their challenges, like challenges, eventually over generations, they're not going to have the same baggage that the generations will have prior to the first resurrection, where things will continue to get darker and the tares will continue to grow to maturity, where generation upon generation, people will, you know, see hell on earth, if you will. That's all going to reverse over generations of Christ and the saints ruling, to where people are going to grow up in a pristine, pure spirit environment, where all they're going to know is the love of God. All they're going to know is the fellowship of the Spirit. All they're going to know is a taste of what it's going to be like without the curse of, you know, without the curse on the earth. It'll still be cursed, but spiritual darkness won't be there. So will those people be overcomers? No, because that was never necessarily what God has planned for them, because that's not the job that God has planned. But they're not lesser Christians. They're not lesser parts of the bride, any more than the person who is saved but doesn't have a lifetime of needlework. They're just simply lacking the opportunity to be developed for and prepared for a job that God has.
Yeah.
So it doesn't make us, or it doesn't make overcomers better.
Nope.
But it certainly does require something if they're going to achieve that role.
Right, right.
But in God's eyes, the bride is the bride.
Yes.
And he gets to bring them to himself, you know, and it doesn't matter how they get to that place of purity, how they get to that place of holiness, how they get to that place of like spirit.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, you're correct. You're right. It's, they will all be part of the bride. They will all be his body. They will all be his sons. They will all be part of that bride. Yes, definitely. And by saying that they will have, possibly a greater glory, as Paul talks about in that they will have different shinings, illuminations, if you will. I'm not implying that because you have a greater glory, it means you're better. That's not what I'm implying at all. But thanks for bringing that out, because that could be interpreted as that way. And so, yeah, they will all be part of God's church. They will all be perfected, okay? They will all be perfected regardless of the illumination of their glory. And they will be part of the New Jerusalem. Yes, go ahead, Liz.
I think you're saying the same thing, but everyone will have the heart of servant.
Yes, oh, definitely.
So that's what I was trying to say about the first resurrection people. They're just going to have real hearts of servant. Good, I would think, or they wouldn't make the first
reference. Exactly. Yeah, because God's heart, Jesus' heart is a servant. Yeah. Okay, any other questions? We're kind of way past time here. Anyway, that's the purpose of the 1,000 years, is for God to perfect the remainder of the church. Okay, in a nutshell. And the only thing that I feel God is saying is that for those that he's called to the first resurrection, like Paul, that's what you need to strive for. That's what you want to be. Again, it's not because you're a better person, like Bill's brought up. It's because that's what God has laid on you for his calling to you, for what he wants you to be and what he wants you to do. He wants you to be there to help him, to help the younger sister. Okay? All right. All right. Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, we know that in you there is no, you know, we're better than them or they or whatever, Lord. And so even as Paul was trying to attain to the first resurrection from the dead, there was no heart in it of I'm going to be better than the other people. I'm going to make it from those others that aren't as good. That's not in you, Lord. And as we're perfected in you and have more of Christ formed in us, Lord, that won't be in us either. Our motivation for the first resurrection, Lord, is because that's what you want. It's not because we can be better than somebody or look down upon somebody or anything like that. We will have a heart of a servant, a heart of a servant, just like Jesus has. And so, Father, help us, Lord. If you put that calling on our heart to be part of that first resurrection, to be the overcomer, help us, Lord. Help us to be diligent. Help us to grasp what we've been grasped for. And thank you for giving us an understanding of what this 1,000 years will be for. It will be to help that younger sister, the weaker sister. And again, it's not because we're better, assuming we make the first resurrection. It's because that's the way you've laid it out, the plan to help, to get that helpmate, to help the others, to bring them up to the stature where they need to be. Because your word says that all that make it will be to the full measure of God. That doesn't leave out anybody that's part of the church, Lord, that's part of the New Jerusalem. They will all be filled with God. Thank you, Lord. And help us. Help us to be diligent. In Jesus' name, amen.